Who can make sense of political drama? Say a few words and I'll talk your mama. Make everyone mad and still back Obama.
Special report from Roland Martin in our Washington, D.C. studios. Good morning, Roland.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, and Jay. You'll be getting my my overtime invoice real soon.
Glad to talk. Throw it in that stack.
glad to talk with y'all. Yesterday, huge announcement by President Barack Obama. Nearly a month after the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, he made his pick for the his nominee for the Supreme Court. He is Judge Merrick Garland, who serves on the D.C. Court, which is considered to be the second highest court in the land. The president said that he was the most qualified for this moment. And so I got a text yesterday from a brother who said, I want to come on and talk about him. Now that he is no longer the attorney general, he now can grow his afro out like when he was in college. Welcome to the show, former Attorney General Eric Holder.
Yeah.
Hey, how y'all doing? Look, I'm not sure I've got the ability anymore to grow an afro out. Even if I wanted.
Well, always good to hear from you. So you saw my tweets. You sent me a text. So make the case. Why is Judge Merrick Garland the strongest person to be on the Supreme Court?
Well, just looking at Merrick, I mean, and this is the guy I've known for probably about 25 years or so. I mean, he's a careful, thoughtful judge. He bases his decisions on the facts and the law, and he shows respect for people. There's a compassionate side to him that I don't think people have know yet, because he's still, you know, somebody who's unknown. But he's shown an ability to rule against the government. He's got some pretty good opinions when you look at issues of age discrimination, disability discrimination, employment discrimination. He's ruled in favor of criminal defendants against the government. He's a guy who shares the president's values and mine, and who's not afraid to, buck the traditional view of things when that is appropriate. He's going to be a great justice. I think a person who's going to be have a real impact up on the Supreme Court.
I've already heard from some groups, though, who say that when it comes to issues of criminal justice, he is not strong, that he is pro-police. He ruled against voting rights for residents in D.C. And they also say that when it comes to the issue, again, the criminal justice reform, a mandatory minimum case, what about that? What is his record on those type of cases?
Well, I'd say that when it comes to criminal justice policy, that he's in a good place. I mean, first off, he was a federal prosecutor here in Washington, D.C. at a time when D.C. was the murder capital of the country, and although he was a strong law enforcement guy, he did it in a way that I would say showed compassion and understanding for the issues that were confronting the community at that time. When he went to Maine Justice after he left the U.S. Attorney's Office here, he put in place a policy very similar to what I did 20 years later or so, where he reversed a Maine Justice policy that required prosecutors to bring the maximum charges against a particular defendant, and said, no, what I want you all to do is to conduct an individualized assessment of a person who's brought before the criminal justice system and come up with ways in which you charge what's right for that person, not a kind of a cookie cutter approach. Let's look at the individuals. And then he's ruled against the government when it came to whether or not the crack reductions the differences between crack and powder sentencing guidelines were appropriate. He's ruled against the government there.
What about the fact?
Go ahead.
Well, I've heard from others who say, look, the president was elected twice. Why appoint a moderate when if there was a Republican president, they wouldn't be appointing a moderate to the bench?
Well, here's what I say. I think the president has made a good strategic decision here. I think that on the merit, you know, on the basis of his great intellect and his record, I think that Merrick Garland is the perfect person for the court. And then I think the president has also made a strategic decision. He's dealing with people up there who said even before the nominee was known that they weren't going to give this person a hearing. And so the president's got to make the case to people in Congress who he's got to try to persuade. He's got to persuade the American people to get on board behind the effort to get this next justice on. And what I'd ask everybody to consider is that how different is this Supreme Court going to look? Antonin Scalia gone and Merrick Garland there. We're talking about a fundamentally different Supreme Court that is going to be something that is more consistent with the values of Barack Obama.
But there are a lot of people I've heard from who are upset that a black woman was not chosen. There are a significant number of sisters eminently qualified. They voted for a high rate for the president in 2008 and 2012. There's never been a black woman to serve on the court. And in the name of Constance Baker Motley, Ella Baker, Septima Clark, Coretta Scott King, Mary McLeod Bethune, these sisters say now was the time. The president appointed two women. His first two shots should have been a sister this time.
Yeah, and I understand that argument, and I also understand the strategic ability that this president has shown. And after all, we're talking about an African-American who was elected twice, first president in the, I don't know how long, to get 51% of the vote in a re-election effort, and understands, you know, how bad things are up at Congress, understands the opposition that this person is going to face, and came up with a nominee who, I think, given all the negativity that we've heard, has a decent shot at getting confirmed. And so that strategic decision is what made, I think, him move towards Merrick Garland.
Why wouldn't this have galvanized the vote, though, if he hadn't chosen an African-American woman? Wouldn't this have galvanized the vote of black women and blacks in general to go out and vote against these Republicans in the fall as a result of them ignoring an African-American choice?
Well, I'd say that the Republicans have done enough over the last 7-8 years to galvanize black folks to get out there and vote in record numbers come November in any case. But I also think that given who Merrick Garland is, how he will transform the court, and given at least the possibility that there could be a Republican president come January, that people need to be out there and advocating, pushing their representatives for a positive vote on Merrick Garland.
Were you asked your opinion on who he should nominate?
Yes, I was.
And did you also talk about the possibility of an African-American man such as Judge Watford?
Yeah, I mean, I put a list together that I shared with the president. I'm not going to go into who was on that list. Merrick Garland was certainly on that list. Other judges were on that list. I thought that picking a person who had recently been confirmed or who had shown a really substantial record as a federal appellate judge, those are the people I advise the White House to look towards.
Speaking of a list, real quick, if you were asked to be Hillary Clinton's vice president nominee, would you do it?
That's interesting. I'd have to talk to my lovely wife, and I'm not sure that she'd be a person who'd be in favor of that. So that I'm working to get Hillary elected.
Oh, don't blame it on the wife. Come on.
Come on, Eric Holder. Oh, come on, man.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Come on, Roland. You know Sharon. Come on, now.
And Tom.
Hey, don't be trying to put it on me.
Sharon too.
You married to her. Don't be putting it on me. My wife named Jackie.
All right, Roland. It's okay. And Roland's supposed to be my boy here. You know? I'm going to remember this one, man.
I blamed it on Sharon.
I just asked the question. I mean, you unemployed right now.
Wow.
Oh, man. Oh, good job, Roland. Good job.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General.